Clay Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Do you find yourself sobbing at the thought of your taxpayer-funded transgender basket weaving club losing its funding? You may be suffering from a common condition known as libtardism-induced meltdown. But don't worry, there's help. Introducing GrowAPair, the revolutionary prescription solution designed to help you accept reality. With just one dose a day, you'll start to understand that tax dollars aren't meant for gender numeral electric vehicle startups in Vietnam. After taking GrowAPair, you may notice life-changing improvements, such as smaller man boobs, the ability to fund your own transgender basket weaving without relying on Uncle Sam, and a newfound indifference to the defunding of the U.S. Department of Slope Sidewalk Studies. GrowAPair won't solve all your problems, but it can help you stop fixating on who's going to pay for DEI pudding packs in Cambodia.
Side effects may include dry mouth, increased common sense, employment, smaller man boobs, and lower taxes.
Ask your doctor if GrowAPair is right for you, because adulting is hard, but it doesn't have to be.
It is 7:05. I just got this text from my friend Barry up in Calgary, Alberta. He says, good morning, Ray. I've been taking GrowAPair for over 69 years. It's great. My friends in Western Canada have also used it for years. Unfortunately, this drug has been banned from Eastern Canada. You know, that makes sense. Joe, people are asking, does community pharmacy carry this?
We're going to start looking into it. Yeah. You know, we might not be able to carry enough of it.
Wouldn't it be great if it was funded by MainCare? Wouldn't that be great?
MainCare has no money.
Well, I know. That's true. But
how come nobody asks, how could you have a multi-billion dollar department and run out of money?
Well, particularly when spending has grown $4 billion in 6 years.
Yeah. Good leadership by Dr. Gene Lambro.
Yeah, there we go. Love that. And Sarah Gagne Holmes and all the other people.
I don't get how you run out of money.
And they ran out of money early. Remember back when Baldacci did this, you would get your letter in late April.
Right.
And it'd be like, well, May and June, you're going to have
to
wait.
They're a whole quarter ahead of where he was.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And again, it's not as though they aren't spending money like candy, water coming out of a faucet. $4 billion in 6 years.
Right.
And they still don't have enough money. I mean, maybe they don't know how to manage money. Is that possible?
You think?
Is that possible?
You think that's possible?
I don't know.
Instead of funding all these stupid programs they do, how about funding? You just had a hospital announce a closure. They're closing in Waterville.
They're closing the Waterville Hospital.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, we are in tough shape. Nursing homes are going to shut down. They can't do without funding.
Yeah, they've been shutting down.
Right. They're in trouble. We have pharmacies that are not going to get paid. We're in tough shape. And it's all due to fiscal mismanagement. And a governor who thinks she's a tough negotiator, who puts down Republicans in the middle of a negotiation when you need votes. That just shows you someone who's never worked in the private sector and negotiated a contract.
Yeah, she scolded the Senate Republicans when they failed to match the House vote, which I don't know why the House caved, but they did. Josh Morris did not vote for it. I called him and said, did you vote for this crap? And he said, I did not. I said, why do your colleagues? He said, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a compromise, but 12 months out of 3 years is still a lot, And you know what? If you're actually going to do a Medicaid fraud and abuse review, man, wouldn't I love to head that baby.
Who's doing that?
That was part of the bill.
They're going to do a Medicaid fraud and abuse review?
Yeah.
Yeah, but who was going to do it, though?
Exactly. That's what I said. Appoint me to it. I would love to look at that department point out how stupidly it's run.
Yeah. Would that be, kind of like the people that are doing the oversight of all the kids dying in the state?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that's all you're going to do is give it to other state employees to look at it, that doesn't do it.
No,
you
of course
it
doesn't.
You need an outside look at this.
Well, because they depend on their employment for that. Yeah, it's just crazy.
So what are they going to come out with? Oh, the department is so efficiently run.
Yes, it is. It's effective and efficient, but we've run out of money 4 months in advance of the end of the year. Right. But we're really good at what we do.
We're fabulous, and we have a new building we live in.
Mike Shepard is joining us. He's the political editor for the Bangor Daily News. Mike, good morning. Mike, are you there?
This is Mike. Are you waiting for Mike?
We're waiting for Mike, yes. We thought it was Mike.
Okay. I'll get off.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but yeah, we're waiting. I didn't recognize the voice, did you?
Nope.
Oh, is that okay? All right. Well, we're hoping Mike Shepard calls us because he has insight to what's going on in Augusta. So my understanding, Joe, and you were up there, so you know better than I do, that the supplemental bill is now dead because they needed emergency powers. So what I understood is that they're going to try to figure out a new bill.
Yeah, it's not dead. I mean, you could still amend it. So that's what they're going to negotiate. Okay, how do we get the votes? And one of the ways is to renegotiate the whole thing. And, you know, and a look at how Medicaid operates is a good start. But there still needs to be cuts. If you have a $121 million deficit right now, a quarter ahead of where you're supposed to be, you got a problem.
Yeah, you got a huge problem.
So, you know, remember what I said a few weeks ago? That they're going to, at some point, just roll these two bills into one.
Yeah, of course they are. They have no choice.
Yeah, you know, you only have, what's today, the 14th? You really only have 15 more days to get this done. And so if you're not going to pass, because the governor's not going to want a majority supplemental, adjourn, call them back, have a two-year biannual budget, adjourn, and come back. That's stupid. So they're going to try and just roll it into one bill and let it go if that's what happens. And they'll put more hospitals and layoffs will come right behind it. And they know that.
Yeah.
Okay? The Democrats know that we need two-thirds or else we're going to have massive layoffs. People aren't going to get health care. And it's going to be a disaster. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Keep talking, Joe. I'm going to call Shepard because I want his insight on this.
Well, you know, I do think if they do form a committee to look at Medicare, I mean, I would love to be a part of that committee. I just think it would be eye-opening for people if we really dig into it.
So with Medicare, I don't understand how they can just go in and shut hospitals down because they don't have money.
Well,
when they can find it for people that aren't working in.
But the legislative process doesn't allow them to move money without the legislature telling them it's okay. So
gotcha.
That's a dilemma. And remember, these hospitals get prospective payments, meaning they're paid ahead of time for what future health care they're providing.
Oh, so the hospitals are mismanaged as well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, so they get prospective payments based on, you know, past year's services and what they provide for health care. Now, if they spend all that money, it doesn't really cover the future, right, which is what's going on. So prospective payments make sense in a way. And then they're supposed to reconcile at the end of the year,
right,
saying, okay, I gave you so much in prospective payments.
How much did you actually spend?
And then they reconcile it and take money back. That's probably my guess. It hasn't been done in years.
Well, probably not. Why would they care? You know,
right.
I mean, it's just Mills is the most reckless government from a financial standpoint, governor from a financial standpoint in all of Maine history.
And she's
reckless.
She's just proven herself to be a horrible negotiator.
Well, what she's also proven is she doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the bottom line. Yeah. She doesn't know how to lead.
Right.
I mean, the fact that there they were. What were they, two votes short in the Senate?
Two votes.
From getting this bill passed that Mills wanted passed.
Yeah.
And so they voted, and they came up two votes short of getting emergency measures, which means it could go into effect immediately. And so instead of coming out when asked and saying, look, we're negotiating behind the scenes, we're trying to figure out something that everybody can agree to,
and we're very
so we
close.
Can get this fixed and get it done, she comes out and she just scolds Republicans like they're her lapdogs. I said to
Somebody.
Yes, to somebody who has influence in the Senate Republicans. I wouldn't put up with that crap if I were you. You can imagine who that person was.
Yeah.
And I said, stay strong. And they did. And I know it hurts you.
Yeah.
And I know it hurts the hospitals. And I know it hurts private doctors who take Medicaid. But at the end of the day, something's got to be done here. Because if this just gets rammed through, nothing will change.
I mean, yeah, we have
You're going to be right back here next year.
We have people on Medicare who come to our pharmacies and get $25,000 drugs. So you're asking me to front that and not pay me for it for 3 months. That's a big hit.
Yeah, of course it is.
You know,
yeah.
All I need is 10 of those,
so,
and it hurts.
So let's say, I have no idea, but let's say you do $1 million a month in Medicaid.
Yeah.
So that means you got to carry it for 3.5 months.
Right.
So that's $3.5 million.
Right.
Now, that's you.
Yeah.
Walgreens is much bigger.
Right.
How much do they carry?
They have, I think, around 65 stores in Maine now.
So what do they carry?
Right. Just do the math.
I mean, and so how do we think this is reasonable?
Right. And people are going to be denied care.
And again,
That's the only way you go about this. And it's unfortunate that we have people up there who don't know how to negotiate. Bruce Bickford stood up and said, hey, I'm willing to vote, you know, for this compromise if you promise me we'll have a 2/3 biennial budget with input from Republicans. And the Democrat stands up and says, I promise you I'll work as hard as I can to get to that. Well, your word's no good.
Right.
So your promise means nothing because you've given me your word in the past and lied to me. So your word's no good. Why would I trust you?
Well, how do you trust anybody who doesn't know what a girl is? I mean, honestly, how do you trust anybody who doesn't know what a girl is?
Yeah. But so that's the kind of trouble we are in right now in Augusta. So
I'm not sure what happened with Mike. I actually called
it's
him.
Ringing.
And I didn't get him. So maybe he's got influenza A. Can he get a shot for that? No, wait a minute. There's no main. Well, he's not on main care. But anyhow, so Wayne Perry, that was Wayne calling in. And he's going to join us now. He's a state rep out of Arundel. Wayne, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Well, on my way to Augusta to work on the highway fund budget.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't tried to sweep that yet.
Well, yeah. Not yet.
Wayne, I can't remember. Were you there during Baldacci, or did you start with LePage?
I started with LePage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Joe was there during Baldacci, and they used to sweep accounts that had surplus money in it to pay bills. You know, but this, what John did seems like nothing, but this is, I mean, they would send out letters. I still have them. I was looking at my email the other day, but that was in late April to say we might have struggles in May and June. This is, the first letter went out at the beginning of March from Janet Mills' debacle. Go ahead.
You can sweep money out of highway. You're just taking it away from roads and bridges.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem we're having right now.
Wayne, let me ask you a question. So we're talking, Joe, what is it, $121 million? Wayne, is it $121 million to make this whole through the end of the year?
Yep.
Would the legislature agree and give emergency to taking $121 million out of the rainy day fund? That would still leave about $855 million, and at least it would get done. And I mean, because.
But it's no different. There's the money there now to pay the thing. It's not. That's not needed to do. You just have to pass the bill.
Yeah.
The issue is, you guys are talking about mismanagement. It wasn't mismanagement. This is exactly what they wanted to do. Because they chose the appropriators 2 years ago, the current Republican chair, Jack Ducharme, and the former chair, Saul Millett, told the Democrats that they were not appropriating enough money for Medicare. So they were doing exactly what they wanted to do. And that's why we're in the problem we're in.
So let me be clear about what you just said. You're saying this was not mismanagement. They did this on purpose?
Yes. They were told, the Republican appropriators told them that they weren't appropriating enough money for main care. But they needed to have more money because you got to balance the budget at the end of the year. And they wanted to push money into new housing for new Mainers and all the other costs that go along with that and a whole bunch of other projects and bills they passed. So they knew this was going to happen. This isn't something that's a surprise.
So I hope everybody listening to this station right now and the other stations that we're on just got this. Wayne Perry, the state rep out of Arundel, has said this was not mismanagement. They created this crisis on purpose.
Right.
I think they should all be thrown out for it. I mean, I know we don't have a recall provision in the Maine Constitution, but this is ridiculous. They did this on purpose, and so now providers are going to be hurt. Joe just said we'll have rationed care. They did this on purpose, and we've spent $4 billion more in 6 years. I mean, what is the matter with the other side of the aisle? What is the matter with them? Really, honestly, this isn't about political ideology. This is kookiness.
It's just every idea is a great idea, and there's no problem getting money. We'll just tax the people more. That's all.
Well,
I mean, it's at every level of state government. Look at your local taxes going up. I mean, it's no different anywhere. It's everybody thinks that, you know, ideas are great and it may be a good idea, but we may not have the money for it. I mean, we've advertised to have more people come to Maine that can't work, that we've got to put housing and food and give them everything, and they're not taking care of Mainers. And it's just, the whole thing's frustrating. I mean, we're dealing with a highway fund budget right now, and the costs are going up. Big increases in state police, big increases in Secretary of State's office. But DOT, we were cannibalizing the roads and bridge budget.
Why do we need big increases in the Secretary of State's office?
Oh, because they need more money.
For what purpose?
You know,
enroll more people to vote who don't live in Maine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's not our part of it because we are on the,
right.
You know.
Yeah, you're doing the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Yeah.
Right, motor vehicles and stuff like that. But
right. But
it's still, yes, some of it's contractual and you know, employees, it costs more every year. So some of it's there.
Have you been to a BMV or a DMV building?
Yeah.
You wait for hours while all sorts of refugees are in front of you getting driver's licenses, and you wonder how that's happening. Yeah.
Wayne, let me ask you this question. You're a lobsterman by trade.
English.
Right.
You're a lobsterman by trade. Do you get a raise every year?
No.
So why do state employees get a raise every year? I mean, what makes them sacred?
Oh, legislators got a raise.
It's a union. I don't want it. It's a union contract. That's what they, you know.
No. I know it's a union contract,
but you're in the private
sector. You don't get a raise every year. Most private sector employees don't get a raise every year. Why do state employees get a raise every year?
Because they do.
Precisely.
Yeah, 4% a year, Wayne. Yeah, that was done by our great negotiator up in Augusta, Governor Mills and Kristen Figueroa, because they're so good at negotiating.
But, I mean, I got yelled at in highway the other day by the DAFS commissioner because I brought up why is OIT cost going through the roof every year. I mean, we were there yesterday, and OIT, Office of Information Technology, is going up $5 million in the Department of Transportation.
You mean those 1985 computers, you know, takes a lot to run them?
I guess so.
So what did she, when she yelled at you, when Figueroa yelled at you, what did she say?
No, she just said that this is just bills we have to pay.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't question it. You know,
if it was a check made out to somebody who shouldn't be getting it? Should you question that?
Well, I guess not.
literally,
the OIT budget for Department of Transportation went from $19 million to $24 million. I mean, it's a 25% increase. And in this year's budget, we got zero new money from the general fund. So it's just frustrating, yeah. You know. And the DOT keeps cannibalizing. When they need positions, they get rid of empty positions. I mean, DOT's down about 450 positions in the last 6 years, 6 or 8 years. So,
whoa, slow down. DOT is down how many positions?
400 and something, and I don't know what the time frame over the last couple of administrations. I don't know the exact.
So down 450 positions, over the last 8 years. But overall, state government has grown about 1,500 people. Why would that be?
Right.
Well, because you actually have to work if you're on DOT.
Oh.
Like, you know, plow people. And
because we're always short money. We're short in the highway fund about $180 million. And so every time that a cost goes up, people just don't seem to realize. And it, like this year, like I said, no new money from general fund. Well, the budget's going up $1 billion in general fund, and there wasn't 50 or 100 million that could have gone to highway?
Does Janet Mills know that roads and bridges are ranked by CNBC 49th in the country? And you don't need CNBC to tell you. You just ride across them. Does she have any idea, or does she have an SUV driven by EPU that rides on the clouds? I don't know.
Wayne, what fees are going to go up to cover that shortfall?
None. They're taking it out of roads and bridges.
Oh, so we're going to just continue with potholes so we can fund all these stupid things they do.
Right.
Or we can wait until one of the bridges collapses with people on it.
And then everybody will be outraged.
That's where in highway we always take it from. The only reason we have money right now in the capital line is because when we changed last year and got 40% of the sales tax on vehicles, that wasn't more money, it was different money. But that different money makes us able to actually have some money in the capital line.
Well, I remember the commissioner out there touting how wonderful DOT is right now because they have all this money to fix roads and bridges, and now they're taking it away.
Right. I mean,
is that correct? Am I correct in that? Or
you're pretty correct.
Guys, I hate to do this. We have got to run. Wayne, I appreciate you being on. Stay strong up in Augusta.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Wayne.
Hey, there is breaking news right now. Apparently, Russia has agreed in principle to the Ukrainian ceasefire deal. So we'll see what all that means. But again, Donald Trump is trying to broker peace. Nobody else was talking about it. Ukraine agreed earlier this week to the ceasefire. And now, apparently, Russia has agreed in principle to the ceasefire. So maybe we can stop allowing these guys to kill each other.
Hamas has also agreed to release the last living American hostage.
Well, it was about to get bad for them. Netanyahu was the only reason that it didn't get bad already. We got to go.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it.